about your group's response after game one?
Just how we responded. You know, every game isn't going to be perfect. You know, we're playing against the defending champs. You know, and they punched us in the mouth first game. And, you know, we knew that. So I knew we was going to be ready tonight from a competitiveness standpoint. We were pissed off in how we played last game. And, you know, from top to bottom, and we knew that we just had to play better.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Celtics Talk Podcast here on the NBC Sports Boston Podcast Network, coming to you as they dismantle or rearrange the Celtics floor here at TD Garden with Jeff Goodman. Celtics win game two. Let's just start general 10,000-foot overview. What was your biggest takeaway?
You know, I thought Jaylen Brown, the offensive end, came out, set the tone. And I thought Grant Williams. I don't think there was enough talk about what Grant Williams did defensively on Giannis without any help. One-on-one, you put him in there, and you know what? He frustrated Giannis. Giannis didn't, to be honest, like, he was tentative. Mm-hmm. He was tentative in that second quarter. And I thought, again, when you do that, you then make it so those other guys mm-hmm. aren't going to get easy looks. Bobby Portis didn't really go off. Grayson Allen didn't go off. A lot of those other guys just didn't get the looks they would normally get when you have to double Giannis.
It's so funny that we're starting the conversation about game two with Grant Williams, but yeah, I do think it's important. Not only was he awesome in game two, but roll it back to the last series. Think about the guys he's been tasked with defending. Kevin Durant, whenever Jason Tatum needed a break. You know, Kyrie Irving on switches. Yeah. And now he comes to this series, and it's like, okay, can you go give us a couple minutes against Giannis? And, oh, you might get some switches against Drew. And it's like,
Chris, I saw him play in college.
Did you know he was going to be this good?
Hell no.
Right.
Come on. He's an undersized four who's playing some three now.
I had no idea what his position was.
And he's not athletic. Yeah. But I just talked to him after the game, and I said, man, like, what you've done, I have never seen anybody guard Giannis like that for a half and shut him down. He shut him down. They had some healthy times.
Behind the basket, too, there was four guys in orange shirts. Probably
Grant said he didn't see him.
Oh, no way.
That's what he said.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, didn't see him.
G-R-A-N, and then they didn't have enough, so the guy had put the T on the end shirt. So, but, like, Grant Williams has, like, courtside fans now.
Yeah.
So, and
Tennessee fans.
Kind of deserved it.
Oh, he's been – I mean, again, like, you look at his transformation, right? He couldn't shoot the ball from three. Comes out now, he's a knockdown three-point shooter. He's a great defender. He's not going to hurt you defensively. He's actually going to help you defensively. He's just so smart.
Yeah.
And the other thing with Grant Williams that I don't think, and you know this.
Moving the puppies?
Well, no. How about the intangibles?
Ooh, okay.
How about how vocal he is? Mm-hmm. And a lot of this team is even keel and almost too cool.
Sure.
Grant doesn't care about being cool. I mean, he'll say anything. Doesn't care, and I think he brings up kind of that level of just the chemistry of this mm-hmm. team. I think he's helped immensely.
It's so funny you say that, because one of the things I noticed throughout this year was how close him and Tatum have become. And he told me a story about how even when he came in for his draft workout, he went and hung out with Tatum, and he knew him from the college circuit. And, you know, so they had this relationship, and now it's sort of blossomed. And you don't – those seem like a little bit like oil and vinegar, right? Like Tatum's super quiet and kind of keeps to himself, has a kid. And then there's Grant, who's just loud and, like, owns the room.
Never shuts up.
And I sometimes I think, like, teammates are sitting there going, ugh. But maybe they do need someone like that who just sort of sets the tone in the locker room.
You can't have everybody the same. Yeah. I mean, Al doesn't say two words. Mm-hmm. Tatum doesn't really talk much. Jaylen doesn't talk that much. I mean, a lot of their guys are pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a Grant Williams to liven things up a little bit. And my guess is Tatum tells him to shut up at times with his locker next to him.
Right. But. Yeah, and he probably listens better. Or maybe he sends Deuce in there and says, hey, tell Grant to shut up. And, you know, you don't ignore Deuce. Let's talk about Jaylen Brown. You mentioned just the bounce back performance. I thought he had maybe his – you know, it's hard because they played so many playoff games, but, like, probably one of his worst playoff games in a Boston uniform. Seven turnovers in game one. Just, like, cumbersome.
He looked hurt.
Yeah.
He looked hurt, but I don't think he was. And I think he just was off.
And to his credit, he did not come out afterward. It's very easy to come out and be like, my hamstring was, you know. Yeah. Didn't use that as an excuse. Yeah. I think that shows a maturity with just being like, look, I can be better even if I am hobbled. Then he shows up. Our cameraman, Barry Alley over here, sitting here, and he walks in. What time was it, Barry? 3:30? 3:40, he's at the arena for a 7 o'clock game. This is Ray Allen-like to me. Yeah. You know, first guy in the gym. We said, oh, when I first heard it, I said, oh, I wonder if he's getting treatment. No, he was out here. He wanted to get work in. And it's clear he had a motivation to go out there and just go to another level. What stood out about Jalen?
Well, I think, again, the fact that in game one, not only did he struggle, but they got punched, right? They got punched and didn't really respond. And I think Jalen, without Marcus Smart on the court, he had to provide the toughness, right? I think he understood that. He is that kind of tough dude who's not going to back down, physical. So he showed offensively, you know, a couple ill-advised maybe turnovers. But for the most part, he made every shot, and I thought he had a couple unbelievable passes. You know, listen, he and Tatum combined for half of their assists
14
tonight.
14 assists, right?
Okay?
Oh, it's crazy.
I talked to Tatum after the game, and that's something, you know, I've preached forever to Tatum, to everybody. He can be an elite-level passer, and he's showing it, trusting his teammates. Jalen Brown's trusting his teammates. The ball moved tonight. It moved tonight where it didn't move in game one.
Oh, my God, not at all. And like, the extra pass and the extra kick and the extra drive. And they got to wait for it for a little bit in that second third quarter. You know, maddening stretch. I actually timed it out. It was 22 minutes in real time. Yeah. They did not score a basket. And I was like, oh, my God. But it was also like nine stoppages
taking,
on the court.
Yeah, taking shots too early in the shot clock.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I wonder is, can they get away with that? It doesn't feel like they can get away with that on the road. Like, they have to be quicker to, like, recognize, like, okay, we're reverting. How do we get back to the team that we saw in the first half tonight?
Well, I think when you have that big a lead and you're leaving wire to wire, and there was never any real game pressure on them, there were some times where they were going for the knockout blow, and maybe you shouldn't have.
Right.
You work the clock, and you try to get a great shot. But, you know, again, listen – this team, when they're making shots, they are fun to watch. When they're moving the ball and Jalen's make, I mean, first half, again, the three, you had what? Jalen, Grant, and Pritchard didn't miss. They were 9 for 9 or 10 for 10 from three.
Crazy. And it's so funny to go from a game where you were, you know, mediocre, you know, that 53 pointers, 45 of them open and only made 35%, to a night where it felt like they couldn't miss. And meanwhile, the Bucks can't make any shots. So
isn't it kind of simple at times, right? Uncontested shots, you're probably going to win the game.
Yeah.
If you're missing them, you're probably not winning the game. Sometimes it comes down to, it's that simple.
Doc Rivers always said, make miss league.
Yeah.
And we'd laugh and be like, that's oversimplifying it. But sometimes maybe that is it.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, series is shifting back to Milwaukee. They've sort of stolen home court despite how good Boston will feel coming out of game two. What happens from here?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's going to depend on Marcus Smart, right? I mean, you got to get him back, but you also now feel like, okay, you get some extra days here. But he had to be really hurt to not play in a game of this significance, where if you lose this game, you're in major trouble. Let's face it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not saying the series is over, but the series is
it's almost over. Yeah,
right. Like, so he didn't play, which means he's significantly banged up, because Marcus is about as tough as it comes. So I think you got to not only get him back, but get him back to where he's effective. Derek White, he cannot make a shot. I feel so bad for him, because you could tell he's pressing now. Mm-hmm. I almost wanted him to take the shot at the end of the game
just to get one.
Yeah,
he got one after the whistle, and I said, oh, maybe that will take the lid off for him. But it didn't.
Yeah.
So let's stay on Derek White for a second, because I do think that's kind of fascinating. You know, one of Brad's big in-season moves to go get him, to get elevated without Smart out there. But he was still plus 28, I think.
And that's the key.
I mean,
right. Even if he's not making shots, he's not hurting you because defensively, he's solid. Offensively, he's not going to force bad shots, right? He's going to play within the confines of the game and the way it's supposed to be played. But he's got to make a few or else, you know what? Peyton Pritchard can make a few. And that's kind of the positive there. Pritchard, you're giving some on the defensive end in terms of size, but you're going to get something in terms of shot making.
And he has to stop stepping on the end line. I don't think. I know that Peyton Pritchard went through this when he first got into the league. It's kind of funny. I mean, these guys have gigantic feet. And sometimes you just, you know, you hit it. But, I mean, and first off, your shot's not going in, and now you have to worry about that. It's just kind of funny when it all seems to conspire against you. Can the Celtics, with Grant Williams as the poster child, and, you know, what they've done with Al, you know, I still can't believe he's 35 years old. Can they play this sort of defense on Giannis throughout the series? Now, obviously, he got his in game one, hurt him with the pass. Tonight, they found a way to neutralize that, even when he didn't have it go, and then he didn't hurt them by kicking out as well.
I think part of it is he doesn't have his sidekick in Chris Middleton, and that's not talked about enough, right? Sure. Giannis has an off night. You have Middleton to step up, and Middleton's kind of that three-level scorer that again, just does it quietly, but is the professional kind of scorer that team needs. So there's so much more on Giannis right now. And really, if you watch Grant, what's he doing? He's guarding him at the foul line, which makes it tougher for everybody else because it's not giving them enough space to drive. So Giannis, now make him a jump shooter as much as you can. And really early on, what was he taking? Turnarounds. And he was taking turnarounds, like deep turnarounds. He wasn't trying to take advantage of Grant. I don't know how much longer that goes in Milwaukee. I think, again, you're going to get some more calls in Milwaukee as well. I just don't think they can continue to keep Giannis off balance like they have. I think he's going to have one of his games, his efficient, you know, 35 and 15 type game. But again, you can't let the Grayson Allens and and the Bobby Portises and Pat Connaughtons, you can't let them get going. And Drew Holiday, he struggled early. That was a key, too. I thought defensively, the job they did on Drew early.
And think about it. Drew's probably thinking, no Smart out there. Right. Like, this is going to be a lot easier out there. And they found a way to make it difficult. The thing with Giannis, I mean, you just got to keep him out of transition. The Celtics have to value the ball. Here's my big sort of final question as we go into this game three. Can the Celtics go on the road with this core and win in a tough environment against a defending champ like that? Can they find a way to steal back home court?
Yeah, just split. Come back again. Come back tight. All you got to do is split there.
Yeah.
I think they can do it. I think they feel really good coming out of this one now. Obviously, coming out of game one, they said they were calm and that there was no panic. And there probably wasn't. I mean, they've been, 32-8 in their last 40 games. Why would there be panic?
Obviously, there's always panic in Boston, though.
If they lost this game,
there'd
be major panic. So they showed a level of maturity that I think this team would not have had 3 months. We know they wouldn't have had it.
Yeah.
And I talked to Tatum a little bit about that, and I said to him, like, you know, how much have you matured?
Yeah.
And he admitted, you know, not only has he matured, I think a lot of the guys, he and Jalen especially, have matured and picked up some. And maybe it's watching the Al Horfords a little bit more, some of those guys.
It is wild that how many playoff games they've been in. It feels like they're only fifth year, fourth year, whatever they are in the league, and yet been on the stage. And so, but it is hard to find a road game that they went in, maybe the confetti game in Philadelphia back in 18, or
Tatum's just such a different player now.
Right.
I watched him tonight, and I'm just like, a few years ago when you watch him in the playoffs, he didn't carry himself. Yeah. I mean, think about it, 3 years ago, he was afraid to go to the basket. Yeah. He couldn't honestly absorb contact, and he didn't want it. Now he goes in, he's just so smooth. And again, like, to me, his passing ability and even Jaylen Brown's passing ability has gotten better. He's not a great passer, but he certainly is a willing passer.
Light years better than what they were at the start of the year and especially over these 2 years. All right, now we'll really end it on this. You got a prediction for how this plays out?
The series or the next two? I think they'll get a split. I think now they probably win in seven. I had them winning in six before.
Yep.
I think the Celtics probably win in seven at this point. I think it's going to be a hell of a series. And, again, a lot of it's going to depend on not only if Marcus Smart returns, but how healthy he is.
I've been a roller coaster. I said before the playoffs started, I said Bucks in seven because I just thought they're championship medal. Then they lose Middleton. Yep. And I said, okay, Celtics in seven. Then they won game one. I'm like, all right,
you flip back.
I'm just sticking on seven.
Yeah.
I'm hedging all my bets here, but I do think if the Celtics play offense the way we have seen them capable of, especially in the
first
half,
if they move the ball, they'll be fine.
And I'm sure Ime is going to stress that. All right, we need everybody to go like, subscribe, check us out on the YouTube page. We'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk Podcast.